Believe it or not, Christmas Day is actually quite a difficult time to preach. And the reasoning for this is the fact that everyone knows the Christmas story so well. And many of you have heard so many sermons from much more gifted men than myself. So this makes this somewhat challenging. A concern that I have, firstly, for myself, and then also for you, is that in our familiarity of certain portions of the scriptures, particularly the Christmas story, that you and I can very easily miss the true glory, the wonder, and the significance of what it is that is penned before us. In light of this concern this morning, I wish to turn to the most well-known verse in the Word of God, that being John 3:16. And I wish to consider it in light of the most well-known story in the Bible, that being the birth of Christ. And it is my prayer this morning and my desire that our familiarity is laid aside and that we see this in all its splendid magnificence. So if you aren't there already, please turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm sure we all know this verse very well. The first verse that I ever learned when I was a five-year-old. John chapter 3, verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. The title for the sermon this morning is The Greatest Gift Ever Given. Let's pray. Father, once again, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather this morning. Father, I thank you for giving me the chance to open God's Word this morning and speak on these glorious truths. Oh Lord, I pray that I would speak clearly this morning, and I pray that your Spirit would work this morning. Father, you know the needs of our heart. Father, please meet them this morning. Lord, we're hungry. Please feed us this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week in some reading, I came across some articles that highlighted the spending of Australia in the Christmas season. To be honest, the figures scared me. In the six-week period leading up to Christmas, within the retail sector, approximately $48 billion was spent, with $9.9 billion spent on presents alone. This equates to about $415 per man, woman, and child, which highlights the great expenditure at this time of year. Many financial experts report that a large number of people spend far above their means, even going into debt for the Christmas season. Now, I start with this morning not because I wish to talk about the Christian and money or loans and credit cards. I will leave them for Pastor Peter. I'm sure he would love to talk about it. But I begin with this morning to highlight the practice of spending up big when it comes to gifts. Now, this is part and parcel of the Christmas season within the Australian culture. But where does this tradition, where does this practice stem from? Some say that the giving of gifts is rooted in pagan festivals. Others say it finds its source in the giving of the three gifts from the wise men. And still others think that this modern phenomena of giving gifts has really recently been implemented with the addition of Santa Claus. And perhaps there's truth in all of these positions. But realistically, the giving of gifts, or a gift, is what happened on the very first Christmas, is it not? This giving of gifts is the very essence of Christmas. It was then that the greatest gift, the most precious and valuable gift that has ever been given, was given. And it is this giving of the greatest gift that I wish to consider in the time that we have together this morning. Now, out of the 31,373 verses within the Word of God, this verse is probably the most well known. The truths found within John 3:16 are simply tremendous, And to be perfectly honest too, you know, words in our language can sufficiently describe and express the magnitude of the gift that is given in this verse. And yet it's this that I wish to embark on this morning. We are told here that God gave His only begotten Son. This verb, gave, highlights that this was a gift. This wasn't something that mankind deserved. This was not something that we had earned in any way. No, God didn't give this gift because we have been good, like the little children with Santa. But God willingly, freely, and sacrificially gave the greatest gift, that being sending Jesus Christ into this world. Only begotten. This is the term used to describe the Father's and the Son's relationship. This term speaks of uniqueness. It does not speak of origin or creation, but rather the fact that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. No one else ever has or will occupy this position. He is unique. Although we as believers are called the sons of God, little s, there is no other Son, capital S. There is only one. No one else has ever had this eternal, intimate fellowship with the Father. Only Jesus Christ. And yet, it is He. It is He that God gave. God would not and did not withhold what was most precious to Him. If you and I are to understand the true magnificence and wonder of this gift, it's imperative that we determine the recipients of this gift. You and I give gifts to those we love, one's children, family, and friends. But yet God's giving is far more inclusive. We are told here, for God so loved the world. What a glorious proclamation! Unfortunately, this is a statement that is a cliche statement, really, that the church just spits out. But let this truly sink in. Let this grab hold of your hearts, that the greatest gift ever sent was all-inclusive. It was for the world, for all humanity. God sent Jesus Christ for all mankind. And beloved, when we fully grasp the condition of humanity, then this is simply mind-boggling. We as mankind are evil. We are fallen. We are enslaved in sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even those good things that we do in the sight of God are but filthy rags. There is no good within us, my friend. We live in open rebellion of God. We are the enemies of God. This describes the natural condition of every man, woman, and child that has ever walked upon this planet. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by nature. And we are all liars, blasphemers, idolaters, possessing angry and revengeful spirits. We are immoral, spiteful, rebellious, broken individuals. This describes every natural man. This describes me. We are in ruin. We are twisted. We are in a hopeless position under the wrath of God, sliding quickly into the pits of hell. This, my friend, is the condition of the world. And yet this world, despite being the enemy of God, despite hating God, despite rebelling against Him, He gave this greatest gift. And why did He do this? Well, He did this because He loved the world. He loved the world. Let that grab hold of your hearts. That despite our natural condition, despite our sin, our utter hopelessness, our brokenness, God loved you. Now, are there more touching words? That God loved the evil, sinful world of fallen humanity? That He willingly chose to love you and me despite we being totally unworthy? There is nothing at all within us that deserves or merits the love of God. We deserve judgment and that's it. And yet despite our despicable and damnable nature and actions, despite we being sinners, God commended His love toward us. God, who is love, loved this world. Now, this love that God has for broken and undeserving mankind motivated him to send the greatest gift. The love of God for humanity is proven from the fact that he gave this gift. He would not hold back anything, not even his only son. But why was it that such a gift was necessary? Why did Jesus have to be sent? We're told in this verse that Jesus Christ was sent so that mankind would not perish, but have everlasting life. This term perish speaks of judgment, speaks of punishment, of condemnation. It speaks of eternal death separated from God, banished from the presence of God, living in torment, in pain, in agony for all eternity, having the wrath of God poured upon you. Fire, brimstone, unquenchable thirst, unimaginable torture and torment. This is what hell will be like. And it's this that all mankind deserves. It's what you deserve. It's what I deserve. It doesn't matter how good you may think you are. Just one sin disqualifies you from entering into God's presence. God is holy. He cannot, he will not tolerate sin. And hence all mankind will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Eternal, conscious agony. This is the destiny of all humanity. It's this that we all deserve. And yet God in his love sent his son born in a manger so that we would not have to perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life and perish are polar opposites. Everlasting life speaks of a quality of life, a never-ending quality of life. It speaks of eternity in heaven. It includes the idea of being delivered from what we deserve, that being perishing in hell. But it's more than this. It includes a relationship with God right now and an eternal home in heaven and everything that's included with that. And this, my friend, is guaranteed forever. No, it doesn't have Harvey Norman's 5-year warranty. This has an eternal warranty, an eternal guarantee. This is what has been made available to humanity as a result of the coming of Christ. But what was it that Christ had to do in order to make this possible? It wasn't just a matter of Christ coming to earth and living, but he had to come to die. And why was this? Well, this is because sin demands death. This is the penalty for sin. Romans 6:23 makes this more than clear. The wages or the price for sin is death, both physical death and spiritual death. And God knew there was only one way that this sin problem, mankind's greatest problem, could be dealt with. And that was by the substitutionary sacrifice of his one and only Son. In his great love, he sent the Son, born in a manger, for this very purpose. To live a perfect life. Keeping the law in every point which you and I fail so miserably at. Dying in our place upon that wretched cross, yet rising again on the third day. Making it possible for mankind to be saved from eternal damnation. God saw the problem of humanity in eternity past, and out of his abundant love, mercy and grace sent his Son, born in Bethlehem to die in our place. My friend, there is no greater love. Nothing comes close. Consider the incalculable cost. Now, this is far greater than all of the spending worldwide this Christmas, that Jesus would leave heaven's shores. He would leave his privileged position, take upon himself humanity, empty himself. He who is the Creator coming to live with the creation, living such a lowly life. He was born in a manger with the animals in a feeding trough, hardly fit for a king. And that he would be rejected. He would be despised by those he came for. And he ended up paying the ultimate price, by willingly laying down his life for your sake and for mine. This greatest gift costs far more than we can ever imagine. And yet God the Father, in seeing our problem, willingly sent his Son, despite we being completely unworthy, despite the cost. God knew that such a huge problem could only be dealt with by his Son. This was and still is the only way to salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. And because of this, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and he willingly came for you. But notice with me, very importantly in this verse, there is a condition. It says, whosoever believeth. All humanity are destined to perish. Not a popular message, but it's true. We all deserve hell. This is what I deserve. This is what you deserve, yet a way out has been provided. Jesus Christ came, but you must believe. This is the condition. You must believe that you are a sinner who deserves hell. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came and died in your place, rising again on the third day, paying the price for your sins, and that this alone is sufficient. This, my friend, is salvation. Repent. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus, and you will be saved. And this, my friend, is the only way to receive this everlasting life and to not perish in the lake of fire. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through Jesus. Everlasting life in heaven, eternity in hell, the choice is yours. My friend, God provided the way. He sent the greatest gift, but will you receive that gift? You know, please choose wisely. And for those this morning who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, praise God. Praise God for the wonderful Savior that we have. How staggering it is. How mind-boggling that despite our wretchedness, our brokenness, our rebellion, despite this, God loved us. And he sent his precious Son into this world for our sake. This, my friend, is what happened at the very first Christmas. We must remember this. We must wade through and get rid of the commercialized garbage of this particular time and remember what it's truly about. Christmas is about gifts, but it's not the gift that we think about. No, it's about Jesus Christ. Son of God, who taking upon himself human flesh, born in a manger. Now, this greatest gift was not wrapped in paper, but rather swaddling clothes. He was not born to live, but to die in our place, to provide us with salvation, to save sinners of whom you and I are chief. It's this that it's about. And may we not lose sight of the true glory and magnificence of Christmas. May our familiarity not dim the wonder and the awe of the incarnation, that Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given, was given. How amazing, my friend, that Jesus Christ would leave heaven's shores, be born in the most humble circumstances, hardly fit for the King of Kings, living a perfect life and dying a substitutionary death, all for you and me. Jesus Christ certainly is the greatest gift. The greatest gift of all, sent from a loving Father in the form of a child so small. Or the wealth of heaven's splendor, wrapped up in a child so tender. The greatest gift in all the world is Jesus. And it is this Jesus who was born to die upon Calvary. He suffered my sin to forgive. He was born to die upon Calvary. He was wounded that you and I might live. The greatest gift in all the world is Jesus. And how can we do anything else but come and adore him? Amen. Let us pray.